Bear hunters in the state went over the quota this year. That's drawn some concern from some Wisconsin tribes. It's Wednesday, November 20th. This is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Mallory Chang. Coming up, Assembly Democrats have selected a minority leader. And the Department of Public Instruction released new data on how Wisconsin schools are performing. Stay with us, we'll be right back.
Some people wonder what it is that makes NPR's news coverage feel so personal. The answer's easy. We're talking to you. Listen weekday mornings to Morning Edition from NPR News.
After the lowest harvest in years, Wisconsin hunters witnessed a rebound in this year's bear season. As Danielle Kading reports, they killed around 4,300 bears, exceeding the state's quota.
The harvest was up almost 50% over last year when hunters killed roughly 2,900 bears. That was the lowest bear harvest in 15 years. Large carnivore specialist Randy Johnson with the Department of Natural Resources says bait wasn't as effective for hunters last year because bears had an abundance of natural food.
Obviously, that reduces success rates and harvest usually declines as a result. This year, I think we saw kind of that rebound effect back up to average.
This year, hunters went over their quota by more than 400 bears. Wisconsin's Ojibwe tribes have raised concerns about overharvest. Johnson says the DNR's Bear Advisory Committee will discuss whether the state should examine ways to avoid that, including potential zone closures. The committee meets next month. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Court regulators are seeking sanctions against former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman for actions during his investigation of the 2020 election. Gableman was hired by Republican State Assembly Speaker Robin Voss in 2021 following unfounded claims from President-elect Donald Trump about his 2020 loss to Joe Biden. The complaint accuses Gableman of excluding information from court filings aimed at compelling mayors in Madison and Green Bay to testify. It also says Gableman violated state open records law, demeaned a fellow attorney, and attempted to mislead regulators. Gableman did not immediately return a request for comment. Voss fired Gableman in 2022 after he endorsed the speaker's Republican primary opponent. According to the complaint, Gableman's investigation cost taxpayers more than $2.3 million. Assembly Democrats have re-elected Representative Greta Neubauer to serve as Assembly Minority Leader. As Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, she'll oversee a larger group of lawmakers than in years past.
Neubauer, a Democrat from Racine, has been minority leader since 2022, but Assembly Democrats now have their largest caucus in years thanks to new district lines. They flipped 10 seats in the last election. They're still outnumbered, 54 to 45, but Democrats argue they're on their way to taking on more power to promote their agenda, including abortion access. Senate Democrats and Republicans and Assembly Republicans have already selected their leadership. That included re-electing Rochester Republican Robin Voss to serve as powerful Assembly Speaker. That role sets much of the policy agenda for the whole body. Voss previously said Republicans will hammer out what they're going to focus on in December, and it's expected to include tax cut proposals. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
State officials reached a $1 million settlement with the owner of Pick and Save and Metro Market grocery stores over the sale of packaged foods that were under their listed weight. Inspectors for the State Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection found more than 1,000 alleged violations in products like pre-cooked meals, cold platters, and baked goods. The items were found at stores in Milwaukee, Madison, Green Bay, and other locations. The store's parent company, Roundy Supermarkets, was cited for similar issues from 2018 to 2023. Michelle Reinen leads the state's Division of Trade and Consumer Protection. She says Roundy's has agreed to take corrective actions like employee training.
We want to be sure that they can accomplish compliance with these corrective measures to be sure that consumers are getting what they pay for.
A spokesperson for Roundy's did not respond to a request for comment. About 84% of Wisconsin's public schools met or exceeded expectations for the 2023-2024 school year. Corrine Hess says that's according to report cards released yesterday by the Department of Public Instruction.
Statewide, 93% of public school districts met or exceeded expectations last school year. DPI spokesperson Chris Bucher says the data is encouraging, but there's a lot more work to be done.
Our collective goal here is to improve student outcomes. The fact remains that Wisconsin public schools have been asked to do more with less for far too many years.
Report cards are based on data from three school years. DPI looks at four areas: achievement, growth, outcomes, and graduation rates. School districts with a higher percentage of economically disadvantaged students are weighted differently. This year's results are similar to last year. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up after the break, we've got a story from Wisconsin Life about preserving the rare Ojibwe horse. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Doug Gordon, host of Beta. Beta is pioneering.
Whether or not you consume a piece of art doesn't make you a good or bad person. You're going to have to find some other way to accomplish that.
And provocative.
I get to play all those things in Better Call Saul. I'm extremely lucky.
And always playful.
The fact that you know the footnotes to the footnotes to the footnotes.
Saturdays at 11 and Sundays at 10 on WPR News.
It's now time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a comeback story about a special band of horses.
Thousands of Ojibwe horses once roamed in the northern United States and Canada in the early 20th century. But the rare breed almost disappeared by the late 1970s. Then recently, a descendant of the White Earth Nation rescued six Ojibwe horses and gave them a home in northwestern Wisconsin. WPR's Danielle Kading brings us this story about Emily Lorzel and the Humble Horse Organization, which aims to keep the rare breed alive.
I know, Mama.
White Earth Indigenous mit you or Ojibwe Anishinaabe kwe mit you. So that's a traditional Ojibwe protocol greeting. My name is Emily Lorzel. I founded this, and my husband and I, we both live on site, so we attend to all of the daily needs of the herd, including things like fundraising and outreach and stuff like that. But it's a volunteer-ran organization, so we don't get paid for anything that we do. All the donations go straight back for the horses. A part of our mission here at the Humble Horse is to preserve the breed and to hopefully one day repatriate them back to Anishinaabe communities.
Itchy.
In Anishinaabe culture, if you don't have a name, your ancestors can't find you, so we gave everybody Anishinaabe names. That's Nojimo, or we call her Jimmy, and that's Dimi, but we call her Mama, and then there's Baswewe, which is Echo, and then this is Nimki, who I guarantee you, once you start giving him pets, he will stalk you to the end of days, because he is like, hi, Mama, just the friendliest. I have an Auntie Siobhan Marks and a Uncle Mark Denning. Uncle Mark actually grew up with these horses, or he grew up with ponies, these small little ponies in the forest, right? I learned about these horses from him, and he would always tell me that his dream was to see these horses back in Wisconsin, because as he was growing up with them, they eventually kind of disappeared. What we do know is there were only about four left in 1976. The last stallion was shot by a non-Indigenous researcher who thought he was a moose in 1960s. So with only four mares left in 1976, and the Canadian government saying, these guys are a public nuisance, we're gonna destroy them. Four members from Fort Boyce and Lac La Croix nations got together in the middle of the night, loaded these four mares up onto a horse trailer, actually border hopped over the ice, it's called Heist Across the Ice, and they found sanctuary in a farm in Minnesota. they were able to repopulate, and they were crossbred with a Spanish Mustang that was kind of the most phenotypically similar to the breed. So all of the horses today are related to those four mares. I didn't know we had horses until I was in my early 20s. And why is it that I didn't know about these horses until I was that age? These horses were so vital to our survival. What's cool about it is it was a consensual relationship. We didn't have to keep them penned up. They would come back every year around the winter to help us check trap lines, haul logs. There's even stories of them pawing through ice to help with ice fishing. So because they helped Anishinaabe people survive and we consider them a relative, I guess my question would be, wouldn't you help your relative survive?
WPR's Daniel Kading brought us that story on Ojibwe horses. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And that's today's podcast for this Wednesday. Thank you for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Mallory Chang, filling in for Alex Crow. Our producers today were Bridget Bowden and John Davis. We'll be back again tomorrow in your podcast feeds with the latest news about Wisconsin and the world. Have a great day. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.